Every believer must decide for him or herself what he or she will believe. It used to be that people just took the word of their priest or their rabbi or their pastor, and they didn't search the word for themselves. They didn't dig. They didn't question. Today we have amazing access. We can get multiple translations of Scripture. We can get interlinear Greek, interlinear Hebrew, the Septuagint. We can do the research for ourselves, and we can ask the questions. And I believe that if we truly want to know the answer and live the answer, that God will answer our questions. We are studying through the book of Genesis, and we're about to come to the place where the three visitors visit Abraham. And one of those visitors is called the Lord. And he gives the covenant promise to Abraham. And then we're going to come to the place where the Lord, God, says, "Let us go down and confuse the language, the speech at the Tower of Babel." And the question immediately comes up. Us, plural. Elohim is plural. So God is more than one of something. But does that necessarily mean God is three? Or maybe he's one being who manifests in three different ways? That would be monotheistic Trinitarianism. That God is one being, and yet he manifests as Father, as Son, as Holy Spirit. And then there are the tritheists. They're also Trinitarian, but they're tritheists. And they believe that God is three different distinct beings who are co-equal and are co-eternal. All three of them have always existed. And there are many, many flavors of others who believe, some believe that Christ did not exist until he was born in Bethlehem from Mary. Others believe that, I'll just say that there are many different flavors. And it's very, very confusing. And the immediate feeling is, the Bible's just impossible to understand. What's the use? I'm not even going to try. But I feel that God wants a relationship with us. And there is no reason for him to make his word confusing. I know that we see through a glass darkly, as Paul says. We're not going to understand it all until the next age, when we have Christ himself and the angels to explain things to us. But I do feel that the Bible, I have to say that I can only go by the weight of the evidence. You read the Bible from beginning to end, and you say, where does the weight of the evidence fall? Maybe you can't have a complete, total answer because there's a little bit that falls over here. But you can certainly, I think, on this question, end up with a weight of the evidence heavily falling in one direction. I will say again, as I have said over and over and over again, that I would never set myself up as the authority, and that I will only say from my study at this point in time, this is where I feel the weight of the evidence falls. And that's as far as I'll go. I want to make it very clear that I do believe that Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, is a divine being. He is worthy of worship. You can worship him without breaking the commandment. Have no other gods before me. I do not believe that he is a created being. He was begotten from the Father. I do believe that Christ had a beginning because he was begotten. But that beginning was not when he was begotten from Mary. Proverbs 30, verse 4. Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if you know? This is Old Testament. What is his name and what is his son's name, if you know? A father and a son. I grew up, was educated as a Trinitarian. And many years ago, maybe 12 years ago now, a friend of mine challenged me and said she was beginning to question whether or not God was a Trinity. And I was so upset with my friend, and I mean, she was a really very close friend. I was so upset with my friend, I didn't speak to her for 3 months. And I set myself to study to prove her wrong. And instead, the Bible, the scripture, left me with more questions than I had at the beginning. So let's look at some questions here and some facts. First of all, there's no statement in Scripture that there are three co-equal, co-eternal beings. And there's no statement in Scripture that God is one divine being who manifests himself in three ways, as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There's no statement in Scripture that says that God is three. I know that some people point to 1 John, that three that bear witness in heaven, but that verse, most all Bible scholars agree that that verse was actually slipped into the scripture when Jerome was translating and the Universal Church of the day was pressuring him and threatening him, and they wanted to settle this issue of the Trinity, and so that little verse got slipped in there, but it is not found in any ancient manuscript. Scripture never uses the word Trinity or triune. Jesus referred to God as the Father. And the New Testament writers referred to God our Father over and over and over again. No Bible writer ever referred to Christ as God the Son. And they never referred to the Holy Spirit as God the Holy Spirit. That phrase is not in Scripture. You hear it all the time, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but it's not in Scripture. John 1:1-3 clearly states that Christ is divine. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So clearly states that Christ, the Son of God, is a divine being. He is a divine being because he was begotten from a divine being. You know, you're human, You beget a child, the child is human. The Father is divine, he begets a son, the son is divine in nature. All shall be broken in pieces. Now, remember, this is the Spirit speaking. Verse 27, as I also receive from my Father, I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Who is actually speaking? As I receive from my Father. The message to Sardis in 3 verse 5. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Who is speaking?
Christ.
The church to Philadelphia in verse 12. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go out no more, and I will write on him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So when the Spirit is speaking to you or to me, who is speaking? Christ is speaking. We don't have much more time on this CD. So let's end this CD here, and then we'll talk about whether or not we're going to continue with part 2.